Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up March 27th through the 29th in Pennsylvania. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Stephen. Stephen, how's it going?
Great. Thank you for asking.
Well, before we dive in and wrap up this series on kind of a new vision for male sexuality, just want to remind you, as we do periodically, that we're a listener-supported broadcast. The way these podcasts are sent out throughout the world and distributed is just because of generous donations from folks like you. So if you'd like to learn about the ways that you might be able to partner with us in this vision and this mission, just go to puresexradio.com and then click on the donate button. Well, Stephen, I want to dive right in because we've been unpacking this vision over the last couple of weeks, and I'm hoping that we can land the plane this week and really, really kind of tie this thing up with a nice bow so that we can encourage folks to go out there and start spreading this message to others and helping one another pursue this idea of being a man of sexual purity.
So you have to listen to the other podcast. I'm jumping in right now. Number 12, praying, meeting, talking, and sharing victories over the struggle are essential. We heard from these college guys that were teaching us. We go to group every week and we say, well, I messed up. I slipped here. I did a little of this. I did some of that. And everybody hangs their head in shame, and then they go home, and they go, I don't want to come back. So we're challenging individuals to be in prayer and meeting and talking and sharing victories of self-control so that there's encouragement, victories of new insights and growth and possibility of manhood becoming more, not beaten and broken and looking less.
And I have to confess, I mean, for many years, even in our ministry and in our groups, we've been maybe a little too heavily focused on the confession aspect rather than the victory aspect. And we do talk about victories in our group, but I think we're going to unpack some things here that will even expand upon that to help us be about a vision that goes beyond simply even really kind of even beyond just the sexual struggle. Because if you listen to some of the previous podcasts, you'll see that this is the third point here of the vision was that God thinks the struggle is an essential part of a man's life. It's like, guys, if you're struggling with your sexuality, when you pray and meet and talk to other people about this, God is going to use this to grow you into the man he wants you to be to fulfill the purpose for which he's made you. And that's a big vision. And sometimes we want to say, you know what, I need to get all of this sexual stuff fixed, and then I can be the man that God wants me to be. And I'm hoping what we're sharing here over these few podcasts is helping guys see that, hey, you know what, this struggle, this journey you're on in the struggle is the pathway
yes.
to you fulfilling your mission.
You know, and I had this thought, you know, the sexual struggle is good. It's helpful. It's honest, because the alternative is coasting downhill with the culture.
Mm-hmm.
But struggling to a higher place, to a higher plane to live, struggling means God's in it. I'm struggling. I'm going back and forth. Me and God are battling this issue because the evil in the culture want to seduce me, and I'm holding on to good. So the final thought is, and this is a vision for every sexual man, and so the final thought is, your mission is bridled sexuality, bridled, reined in, controlled sexuality as an offering to God.
Mm-hmm.
Not more sloppiness, not getting worse, but bridling my sexuality and saying, Father, I could have done all kinds of things. It would have been fun for the moment. But what I'm doing is I'm making you an offering, and I'm giving you my bridled sexuality.
And you know what? This couches this in a very different way than a lot of people have thought about it, especially in recovery. I think in recovery, a lot of times, people look at their pursuit of purity as an obligation and a duty, like a prescription. I must be pure. And while, you know what, there's certainly truth to that. I mean, hey, we're called to purity, right? We're called to not let there even be a hint of sexual immorality among God's people. But the way this frames it is understanding that this is actually an act of worship. I'm offering something to God. Yes, he's drawn lines. He says this is where your sexuality is best, you know, used. But to be able to see it as an offering rather than some massive burden that I'm carrying, man, for me, that's liberated me over the years to where I realize I get an opportunity today to offer to my God a day of purity in which I said no to the things I needed to say no to, and I said yes to the things I needed to say yes to.
That's good.
Because too much of the time, don't you believe, Stephen, it's kind of what we're talking about, too much of the time in recovery environments especially, it's all about the no.
Yeah.
Don't, no, no, right. No. And I think part of this, where we're starting to shift in this next part, is saying, yes, there are certain things we do need to say no to, but God has so much that he wants us to say yes to. And that's where I think some of this proclamation comes in. I don't know if you're ready to do that, but
let's do our proclamation. So because we have a new vision, we're new people, and therefore as men in a group, we say together, I am in pursuit of unbelievable inner peace, the peace that surpasses understanding. I want unbelievable inner peace and rest and calm. Number one. Number two, I want to be fully honest with myself and others. The sexuality is the last place where we hide, but I want to be fully honest with myself and others. Number three, I want to be fully engaged in this fight for my soul, for my rest, and for my maturing manhood. I want to be fully engaged in this fight. Number four proclamation is, I want to be fully prepared today. So armor up, boys. Put on the full armor. Get ready. There's a battle waging today, and I want to be fully prepared today. Number five, I want to be so prepared that there is not one moment where I'm overtaken by my sexuality, not one moment where my own sexuality sort of hijacks the spiritual man that I'm trying to be. I'm going to be prepared, and I'm going to be watchful. I'm going to be on guard. Number six, I will practice resting in quiet. I'll turn off the stimulating, entertaining media that's blaring and glaring at us all day long. I'll practice resting in quiet. And number seven, practicing quiet inside is a submitted heart ready to hear God's whisper.
So I want that to just kind of wash over you, especially you men in the audience. This idea that we are, that the recovery or even just managing our sexuality is not something where we are to be in a defensive position, only guarding, only blocking, only saying no, but that we are warriors in the army of God. We are servants. We're to be in battle. And that means we're to be charging forward, and we're going to make these proclamations. In fact, as I look through these on the proclamation, I mean, these are the very words that sort of storm the gates of hell. Because guys, the honest truth is that our enemy knows that our weakest point in our being is management of our sexuality. It's why for centuries he has used that as the tool to cripple Christ's church. He's brought down many good men through the mismanagement of sexuality, through getting them into these secret, sinful patterns. And so for us to proclaim that I'm going to pursue inner peace, I'm going to be fully honest with myself and others, I'm going to be engaged in this fight for my soul, for my rest, for my maturity, I will be fully prepared each day. I will be so prepared that there won't be one moment I'm overtaken by my sexuality. I will practice being quiet. And this practice quiet is a submitted heart ready to hear God's whisper. Guys, I think if we do this, man, look out. I mean, I really think there could be great transformation and revival in the church, not only in our local communities, but I think around the world, if men were to say, I want to get this serious about being a man of purity. And so I want us to spend the rest of our time in this broadcast trying to share some practical ways that we can, in accountability relationships or in small groups and support groups, spur one another on towards this kind of a vision of living lives of sexual integrity. So, Stephen, why don't we go through maybe what a meeting could look like in terms of how guys challenge one another towards this new vision?
Okay. So we know that there are men out there that are listening to our program and using this material for groups. And so we're trying to give you ideas of how to grow a whole man instead of just saying thumbs up or thumbs down, you failed or you succeeded. And then the same guys often come with their thumbs down going, I failed. I'm not as good as you. No, we're on a struggle for growth. So we want to grow a whole man, not just have a narrow discussion of his sexuality. So number one, here's the agenda. How many days of sexual integrity offering did you make this week? That means a day where you did not use porn, engage in fantasy, or participate in any bottom line behavior. Some guys are doing really bad things. If they could just stop those bad things, that could be an offering. Right? Mm-hmm. And some guys are at the thought level. So if you manage your thoughts, then that could be a day. So come in and say, 5 days of offering to my Father. Out of 7 days, I offered 5 days of integrity and purity to my Father.
Now, and I want you to think about this just for a second, because especially for those of you who maybe you've been part of a group or you've been in accountability relationships before that fizzled, I want you to notice how important and strategic the direction of this question is. Because see, how the idea of asking how many days of sexual integrity offering did you make is not the typical kind of question that usually is in kind of a support group setting. Usually it's how many times did you cross the line of sexual purity, right? I mean, usually that's the only way it's framed.
Is yes. Did you fail?
Did you fail?
Yeah.
And this is actually saying, listen, okay, there's a place for that. We got to deal with those kind of things. But what we're really trying to work toward is what are we focusing on, not just what are we trying to not focus on. So what are we focusing on? We're focusing on each and every day offering to God our purity. So how'd you do this week? How'd you do in offering God purity? You know what I think this does too, Stephen? Maybe, and I don't know how this works with the brain chemistry, but I think, you know, it could be possible that this also triggers your brain in a different way in terms of how you are thinking. Because it just starts triggering you towards, what did I do right? Where did I do something correct? Where did I, instead of kind of training your brain to think of where did I cross the line? Where did I fail? Where did I, flop? And so in some ways, it just could start helping you create a pattern in your mind, even when you get up in the morning. Hey, you know what? I'm going to report in this week on offering, sexual integrity to God. So let me think about that today. Instead of waking up and saying, you know what, I'm going to have to report to guys how I failed this week. And
right. That's
so
good.
In a very subtle way, it starts getting your mind focused on sexual integrity offerings.
So let me just go down a couple of these, right? We went over number one. Number two of accountability questions that you might ask in your meeting is, what did you bring to build up your brother this week? What did you bring? A Bible verse? A thought? A word of encouragement? A story of success? What did you bring to build up your brother?
Now, what I like about this one is, as soon as I read that, I was like, awesome. This will require guys away from the meeting to think about the meeting and to think about their brothers. Cause I have to admit, I mean, I've been doing a group, leading a group for over 14 years. And I have to admit, there's plenty of times myself and certainly guys that come to the group, it's just, they come to the group. That's it. I mean, and what I mean by that is there's no preparation. Usually we're doing a book, and so maybe they've read a little bit of the chapter. But I think what this does is it causes you to think about the guys while you're away from the group. Maybe even connect with the guys while you're away from the group. And so then as you're thinking about them and as you're thinking about your own growth during the week, you're thinking in terms of, how can what God has done in me encourage my brothers in the group? And so then you bring that thing. You're thinking about it rather than just, I'll just show up at group.
I want to remember this story.
Right.
Or, hey, this verse, I've got to mark my Bible with this verse and put a marker there, carry it to the meeting. Mm-hmm. Right? Good. So that's number two. Number three, what did you do to bring glory to God this week? Just, what did you do? Where to glorify God? Did you do any small act of love or worship or kindness? Because some of these are going to be bigger questions and some are smaller, and some you might even skip, okay? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to read the next couple of them, then I want you to comment. Because that was number three. Number four is, did you take some small steps to strengthen your relationships this week? Were you open, honest, connecting, stretching yourself, growing? Did you take a small step to strengthen your relationship with your children, with your wife, with your church, with a brother? And then number five would be, how many days did you spend a few minutes practicing rest and worship?
Well, and again, I think just the major shift in focus here. You know, I can almost sense in our listeners out there, especially the men who maybe been part of a support group or accountability relationships, just, you know, having jaws on the floor right now and eyes popping out of their head going, these have never been questions in my meeting experience. These are never the questions that are asked. It's always focused on those lines of failure. And so to even ask about bringing glory to God or doing something to improve my relationships or getting quiet for a few, these are just, I can almost sense that these are going to be foreign concepts. So how can we, and in that sense, I'm wondering, is this going to be a challenge for some of these guys to break through such an old familiar system in groups to then introduce this? Do you see that there could be any pushback on this and guys think this, how could this be helpful? And
well, guys that don't talk and guys that hide and guys that feel bad about themselves, we're hoping to empower men to do the things they're supposed to be doing and celebrate the right things. Because I think most sexually wounded, broken men, they hide their face in church. No, not literally, but every chance they get, they don't want to look you in the eye, and they don't want to talk about real life things. They hide their face, not their physical face, but the face of their being. They hide and they put on their plastic face with a smile, but inside they got nothing to celebrate. But we're saying, hey, you're a man, you're a whole person. Yes, you're a sexual struggler. So am I. But let's celebrate all the good.
And what I like about this is that these questions, they are opportunities to celebrate the good, but they're also opportunities to challenge one another toward the good. Because, Stephen, I think another thing that might happen as guys are hearing these questions is it might bring up the sense in them that these are the very things I'm not pursuing. I thought this was all about just don't act out. Just don't do these sexually inappropriate things. Just stop it. And what they might be sensing in these questions is, hey, you're not one-dimensional.
That's it.
You're to be a man you're to be this multifaceted man who is growing healthy relationships, who's growing emotionally, who is connecting with his God, who is managing his sexuality well. And I think what it's starting to do is maybe give guys a fuller picture of what real manhood is all about.
That's good. That's good. So, number six, what healthy activities did you do this week? Did you exercise? Did you have date nights? Did you do any reading that was helpful? Did you do some praying time? Did you play with the kids on the floor? Did you maybe turn off the TV and have a media fast tonight? What did you do that was healthy that was going to help you with emotional, spiritual, family growth?
Well, I like this one too, because it also gives a bigger picture. And I like the way this question is even just phrased. It just says, what healthy activities? It's not even qualifying it in terms of, is this spiritual? Is this relational? It's just saying, this to me is almost like, okay, if the other ones, the ones that were more specific to like, okay, did you do something to strengthen your relationships? What about, you know, doing something to bring glory to God? This is almost like, okay, here's your get out of jail free question. Just what any healthy activity that you did. And usually in 1 week's period of time, even the most broken of individuals has done something healthy. They ate a salad.
A walk. Oh, here you go.
They went
salad.
For a walk.
Yes, that's
they did something healthy, you know.
Yeah.
They took a hot shower when they were stressed. They did something, you know. So to me, it's like, okay, good. We got a question in here for that guy that's maybe just drowning in shame and feeling like, I can't find anything that I did that was healthy. It's like, okay, here's your question where, you know, did you do one healthy thing? And what I like about this, Stephen, is, and this is something that I think is important for you guys to know if you're going to start asking these questions to one another, whatever anybody says to the answer to this question, celebrate it.
Yes.
Don't qualify people's answers.
That's good.
Don't try to, you know, place people on these certain levels of saying, well, you know, this guy said the only healthy thing he did this week was he, you know, ate half of a salad, and then start and just add to his shame by saying that wasn't good enough. It's like, hey, he did something healthy. Celebrate it. Enjoy the moment that he
and
shared.
Think about that, because there's a boy-like innocence about what you're saying. Just rejoice together.
Mm-hmm.
We've been beat on all week. We're tired. And do we want to come to another meeting where the stupid, the losers, the hang your head low, that we all get together and can talk about how bad we are? I mean, really? I mean, I get beat up all week. Where do I go to be encouraged, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So number seven, how did you express your innocence and childlike heart? Were you playful? Were you creative? Were you fun? Were you exploring the world or discovering? Or were you being curious about something? If we're holding innocence and purity, then what did you do to express that childlike heart we're supposed to have?
And I really believe that this is a strategic, and if I could put it this way, Stephen, I feel like this is a divine sort of question. In other words, I don't think you came up with it. I think God just gave it to you. I mean, you said it, but I mean, it was, the reason I say this is because I really do believe, you know, Jesus said, unless you come like a little child, you can't enter my kingdom.
Amen.
And so I think part of our recovery, part of our redemption, part of our growth as men is to become childlike, not childish, but childlike. And I think we need to be able to embrace that part of our being that it's the part that I believe is most undergrown. We know how to be childish, but we don't know how to be childlike and just enjoy his creation, enjoy his grace, just learn, you know, learn and grow and play and, you know, all of that. And so this to me is a huge question. And it's probably one that honestly, when guys start to engage it, that you'll be met with blank stares. And that's okay.
But if I took my boy for a hike in the woods, or we dusted off those bicycles and we rode the bicycles, right? If we climbed a hill or we forged a river, if we were boys climbing trees, right? So number eight, what act of service did you perform this week? We are men, so we can serve our family, our church, our community, brothers. Did you do any act of service this week?
And that's and if you'll notice, all of these questions are pointing us toward good. You notice that, listener? I mean, so many times I think, what are so many questions in our support group settings or our accountability settings pointing us toward? It's usually pointing us towards our sin. It's pointing us toward our failure. It's pointing us toward, you know, our lust. And so what this is doing is it's not saying we're ignoring our brokenness. I don't feel it's saying that at all. But what it is saying is it's saying, what are we moving toward? These questions are about where are you going, not just where have you been. It's about what are you going to do that's good, not just all that you've done that's bad.
Okay, so there's two more parts we got to get through here. So let me do them in just 2 minutes here. Number one, after all of this is discussed, we have to have a time of confession because there will have been some failure this week. So we ask for any confessions of porn or fantasy or acting out behaviors. But the spirit is of sorrow. I am sorry that evil climbed all over you and owned you. I'm sorry you couldn't use your spirit to fight back. We confess and we're sorrowful that a man got robbed of his youth, his innocence, that he couldn't be the man. So we confess. And in the last part, we close our meetings with some statement. And I'll give you a few, and you can come up with some that are even more powerful. But number one, every day is a new day. You get to start again tomorrow. Or you could say, be kind to yourself this week. Practice less shame and more acceptance. Or you could say, grace abounds. Nothing you could ever do could make God love you any less. Or you're his boy. You are loved. Now go live in the Father's love. So we close with the blessing.
And see, and so I hope you can, to kind of give an overview again of this. You know, we started out a couple of weeks ago talking about the vision and just saying, okay, what is this about male sexuality and this struggle being part of manhood, and that it kind of unpacked what is the vision. Then we made this proclamation about being in pursuit of inner peace and being honest with ourselves and others and engaged in the fight and fully prepared and practicing quiet. And now we've hopefully given you a framework then for how you can start to engage this on a practical level with one another, asking these questions of one another. I do want you to know that this is going to be available in a PDF format on our website in on our Start a Group page. We're going to have this accessible there where you can see the vision, you can see the proclamation, you can even see these questions. So if you want to just download that, print it out, use it for your group, or just even in a personal one-on-one interaction with other guys or in a small group setting, we want this to be something that can start to reshape how you view accountability, growth, and purity. If you've got questions for us, please contact us. You can reach us at 1-800-49-PURITY. Or visit us online at puresexradio.com. And we look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.